Blog Talk Radio.
We are live.
Hello, Blake. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
Sounds good. Yeah, sorry for being a bit late. Everything was supposed to go up to about 8:15, ended up going up to 8:30. So ended up just getting home live, and we're good to go.
Not a problem, man. Let's do this.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hello to everyone listening. Welcome into the Bird Gang Blitz. I'm your host at Blake Murphy 7, joined every week, as always, by my co-host, John. You can find him on Twitter at JohnnyFootball. John, how you doing tonight?
Hey, happy football weekend to everyone.
Absolutely. Well, we got Cardinals football to talk about. Unfortunately, it will not be with Carson Palmer, at least for the foreseeable future. Drew Stanton will be getting the start up against hopefully for at least the duration of the game, starter C.J. Beathard of the San Francisco 49ers. We also had the news this week that was dropped that Carson Palmer may not actually return for the rest of the 2017 season. John, what's your first reaction at least to hearing about that, and how do you think that Drew Stanton will be able to perform up against this seemingly hapless Niners team?
Well, Blake, I'll start with the Palmer news. The idea of bringing him back for the final two games was, nice.
Because I'm podcasting right now, and I knew that you were coming through the garage. I'll be out in about 15 minutes.
You know, thinking about a potential swan song for, against Seattle, who he's had, tremendous success against in Seattle, and having him say goodbye to the University of Phoenix crowd one final time would have been a terrific omen for Carson, but it just didn't make a lot of sense. And then, realistically, with that injury at his age, the chances of him recovering is, as quickly as you'd probably hope, and thinking about, long-term success and long-term health with his family in mind, it just, to me, it never added up. And so when the injury happened, my gut feeling was it was always career-ending, certainly season-ending, but you couple in his age and everything else that comes into play with being a 38-year-old quarterback with a team that knowingly has a head coach that is likely in his last season as well, and their careers are essentially tied together now. The writing's on the wall for Carson, and that's the unfortunate part. So I was surprised when Bruce was so adamant that Carson had a chance to return. I think maybe that was done just to give the guys in the locker room a sense that, hey, we're not going to quit on you. There's still a chance that your starting quarterback could come back. But if anything, I would think that, if you have success when Carson's out and you're riding a wave with a Stanton or a Gabbert, God forbid it's Stanton, that you're going to want to ride that wave with whoever is having success at the quarterback position. And you're not going to want to mess with that mojo. So if somebody's playing well, I wouldn't think that you're going to want to go back to an injured quarterback, even though Carson's led you to some success in the past. So it's unfortunate, but right when the injury happened, I knew then and there that we'd probably seen Carson play his last snap, not only for the Cardinals, but as a professional quarterback in the NFL. With that being said, going into this week, I think this is the start of a couple game stint for Drew Stanton. I don't think he's going to start for the rest of the year. I think at some point we're going to see Blaine. I just don't think that Drew is going to play consistent enough football for him to sustain the starting position. I just don't think he's accurate enough. That run he had back in 2014, he completed about 55% of his passes for 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And we all remember it fondly because of the fact that we really just didn't have an alternative. But we were winning ball games because of how tremendous that Todd Bowles-led defense was. We had a running game that was slightly above average. Kerwin Williams was running the football effectively. But the bottom line was the Cardinals played tremendous field position with a defense that was ferocious, and they were winning games because of Todd Bowles. And you saw that again this week. Todd Bowles is winning games with a New York Jets roster that's probably bottom three in the NFL with Josh McCown and Bilal Powell. Todd Bowles right now is the front runner for Coach of the Year. And he did that in 2014 when Bruce Arians got Coach of the Year and Todd Bowles was the Assistant Coach of the Year. And so you go back and there's no mistake and there's no questioning why that recipe worked. So anybody who thinks that's going to happen this year, is James Betcher Todd Bowles? You know, I don't think so. James Betcher is routinely giving up 25, 30 points a game against lesser teams, and the Cardinals are now forced to start a quarterback like Drew Stanton, who's several years older. Their roster has eroded since 2014, and so I don't like their chances moving forward. We'll get into a 49ers preview this week. I do think they have a chance to win this football game, but I think that you'll see you'll see Drew struggle in many facets of his game. He's just not overly accurate. He throws what I consider hospital balls. He puts his receivers in just terrible positions to catch the football, puts them in positions where, unfortunately, guys get hurt a lot. Larry consistently has to dive for the football. I think that we're going to see Adrian Peterson, you know, touch the ball 25, 30 times a game. You know, Drew does one thing well. He can throw the deep ball. It's not a catchable deep ball, but his arm strength is still there. But to 33 years old, I would imagine, along with Carson and potentially Blaine, this is his last year with the team. He's not under contract for next year. So really the changing of the guard is going to happen at quarterback position for this team. So it'll be interesting to see what he's got left in the tank, but I don't imagine it's very much.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I think it's interesting when you're talking about just with a guy like Drew Stanton, who really we did a good look at him against Blaine Gabbert in the preseason, and he went out there, played extremely well, had two touchdowns, looked solid. The next game came around, and you saw the inaccuracy, the inconsistency. The reason why he's a quarterback, why he wasn't able to find a starting job, at least in the NFL, why he came back to the Cardinals, and this is his moment. This is why they paid him the amount of money. But I think, as you can see over through the actions that and the statement Bruce Arians and Steve Kerr are making, it feels like they're on to 2018. We've seen an article about how even though David Johnson might be able to return this season, they've seemingly have almost discussed about how they'll see where they're at that spot, but not really guaranteeing his return. There's been a, sort of a confidence lost, as you could say, with that. Same goes for T.J. Logan, who's a guy who he might be getting ready to start coming to the team in a few weeks, and they're saying they may not see him this season. So it feels like you're entering the period of just having to see what this team is made out of in terms of what their identity is going to be. We know right now so far it hasn't been the defense, and as you're saying, you know, the Cardinals have lost the left teams. At this point, now that you don't have a Carson Palmer quarterback, you really have to wonder if the Cardinals are going to be one of those left teams that earlier in the season when they were either a contender or had a chance to win the game. Now it feels much more of they're going to be a team that's going to be struggling to stay afloat with David Stanton, especially if you're going to start seeing games where Stanton's having to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game because the defense isn't able to stop people. And with that, let's get a little bit into Adrian Peterson. Just with the news, David Johnson will probably not be coming back anytime soon. Peterson will become the focal point of the offense here, and he was not against the Rams. Adrian Peterson should be getting the ball at least 25 to 30 times a game. Just because that creates balance in your offense, but also because right now he, outside of occasionally some of the deep shots, Larry Fitzgerald, he is your offense. Talk a little bit about what you think the Cardinals should do with Adrian Peterson up against this, I believe it's bottom four ranked Niners rush defense.
Yeah, I think they're going to take advantage of this Niner roster that's decimated by injuries. You know, on paper, the Niner team that the Cardinals saw earlier this season in Arizona defensively gave them a pretty good beating up front. I mean, that game went into overtime, and the Cardinals probably should have lost that game. They beat up Carson Palmer pretty good. The Cardinals couldn't run the football. Now, that was before the Adrian Peterson trade. But they got pushed around up front. Solomon Thomas, DeForest Buckner, Armstead, those guys are real players. Now, several of those guys are inactive. Armstead, I believe, is on IR. They released Navarro Bowman. He is now an Oakland Raider. Reuben Foster, I believe, is a game-time decision. they've had some tough luck injuries with their front seven. Now, with that being said, that's a group on the rise. 2019, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. They get a speed edge rusher. That's going to be one of the best front sevens in all of football, just not this Sunday. So that helps the Cardinals. That helps Adrian Peterson. If you look at what Ezekiel Elliott did to them 2 weeks ago, he probably could have put up about 250 yards had they kept the foot on the gas pedal in the fourth quarter. He put up probably the easiest 160, 170-yard performance I've seen in a long time. And that didn't include, you know, a lengthy, you know, I think it was like a 70-yard screen from Dak Prescott. I mean, he ate that team alive a couple weeks ago, and that was with Solomon Thomas healthy. So the Niners right now, their defense, their roster right now is just completely decimated via injuries. And really they're thinking long-term, and they want to see what they have in some of their younger guys. And Blake, we'll touch on that. But as far as the Sunday goes, I'm looking for a lot of eye formation. The Cardinals are going to run behind DJ Humphreys. This game's going to look, I think, a lot like the Tampa game when they're going to try to assert their dominance up front. And they're going to be upset about how the Rams game went. And they're not going to – hopefully they're going to be in a position where they're going to be able to play with a lead, because the last thing you want to do is you play from behind with Drew Stanton. That's not a position you want to be in. That's not a position where you can win many games. I go back to the Detroit game, one of Stanton's first games as a starter in 2014. He jumped out to an early 14-0 lead and rode that to a victory through a couple bombs to Michael Floyd, beat Detroit at home in a way they went. I looked at something similar this week. If you're able to get a couple early scores and ride the momentum of a defense against an offense that features C.J. Beathard and Carlos Hyde, not much else. The Niners recently put Pierre Gosom on an injured reserve. It's a very limited team, so it's probably the ideal opponent for Stanton to open up with. I think that Adrian Peterson should be able to lead this team to a pretty, I don't want to say easy victory, but there's no reason Adrian Peterson shouldn't have 100 yards rushing against this team. I think if Adrian Peterson is going to have one more great game with this Arizona Cardinal roster, it's going to be this Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree. In addition to Pierre Garçon and Solomon Thomas, they're also missing their star left tackle, Joe Staley, to be out there moving their right tackle, Trent Brown, who I believe has actually been, from what I remember, at least one of the lowest-ranked PFF offensive linemen. There's just a highlight clip of him where he like barely even tagged one of the edge rushers as they rush around the side. It's very, very possible Chandler Jones has a field day against this Niners team. They also have traded away perhaps their best defensive back in Rashard Robinson and have another back in IR. So really right now is the question is, can the Niners even field a competent team right now? Is got to be a huge question, at least for Cardinals fans entering this matchup. And if the Cardinals do struggle, I guess this night, God forbid that they should drop this loss, and you look at how this team is performing on the road, there's going to be major question marks the rest of the season. I think that's going to be the case. I think that Bruce Arians is going to be smart enough, at least, to recognize that he has an advantage and that the team just has to play mistake-free football. They should be able to walk out of here with a win, and a lot of people just looking at Adrian Peterson. One thing I at least do want to touch on just a bit about, though, is the Jimmy Garoppolo factor. Just because since the last time we had met, where we had kind of talked a little about previewing the Niners, San Francisco and John Lynch went out and made a very, very high profile in acquiring the Patriots backup for just the price of a second-round pick. Now, they don't have him currently signed to a long-term deal. You'd assume it's going to be coming. Otherwise, why for him? But I want to hear some of your thoughts about why the Niners traded for Garoppolo, if it's anything about this upcoming quarterback class, and also what was the Cardinals' mentality and why they wouldn't give up a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, why that may have been on the board, but they chose not to do it. I'm curious to hear some of your thoughts.
Well, I can give you a little bit of perspective based on the fact I live in the south of Chicago in Illinois. I'm from the area. I'm in my late 20s, around Jimmy's age. I went to Illinois State. Jimmy went to Eastern Illinois. I watched him play college football. He was a phenomenal college player. I don't know what kind of pro he's going to be. I do know he walked in the University of Phoenix Stadium last year in place of Tom Brady and beat the Cardinals in the opener, and really kind of amazed me with his poise, his accuracy, his mobility. And I watched him year in and year out do the same thing in the Missouri Valley Conference for 4 years and break every single one of Tony Romo's records. I'm not going to get ahead of myself and say he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, but I know he's got probably one of the best young offensive minds in all football. They've got a ton of cap space, and they got him for next to nothing, in my opinion. I think it's a great trade for San Francisco, and I think that now they're in a position where, moving forward, they're going to be able to surround him with, again, an offensive coaching staff that's going to be able to put him in the best position to be successful. And the Cardinals, to me, go back and probably were a little bit scared off based on the fact that they tried this once before with the Kevin Cobb trade.
Right.
And they went, and Belichick, if it's not Bill Belichick with Jimmy Garoppolo being the most well-respected coach in the NFL, second to that is Andy Reid with Kevin Cobb. So, I'm not super convinced that, why didn't it work out with Kevin because Andy, and maybe it's not going to work out with Jimmy because Bill, circumstances are different. I just think Jimmy's in a better situation. I think he's got a better head coach. I think that the coaching staff is superior. I think that they're going to be able to surround him with better talent. I just think it's a smarter organization right now than what the Cardinals had set up for Kevin. And I think that Jimmy's a better prospect. And I think that the price tag, obviously, that they gave up, being only a second-round pick, Cardinals gave up a second-round pick plus a Pro Bowl cornerback. The contract extension that's coming is also something of note. The Niners are going to have I think they've surpassed the Browns as having the most available cap space. The Browns spent a little bit of money last offseason with I think they went out and spent money on a free agent offensive lineman. They spent money on a linebacker, so the Niners didn't sign anybody. So they had a feeling that the spring of 2018 would be their big spending spree would be coming. And so I would imagine that they're going to give Garoppolo a pretty nice extension, and they're going to have money to spend on top of that. I would not be surprised if they use their top, 2, 3, 4 pick overall on a Saquon Barkley, come back in the second round, maybe take a guard or a tackle or a wide receiver. They're going to go offensive heavy in the draft next year, and Kyle Shanahan is going to get him some help offensively because they've loaded up on defense the last couple of years, and they're going to turn that unit around for Jimmy Garoppolo. I wouldn't play him at all this year. I don't think there's a benefit to that, but I think he's going to have great success with that unit. It's just not going to be this year. So you just look at how these teams are ascending in the West and where it leaves the Cardinals. And we talked about this last week, Blake, with McVay and Goff, obviously Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and their pedigree in Seattle. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, I know he hasn't done much in this league, but everybody in this league right now believes that with Kyle Shanahan, there is minimal bust value. And I read an article this week that basically said that Bill Belichick wanted to get him out of the AFC, that Robert Kraft basically had a conversation with Tom Brady, and they said that Tom wanted assurance that they didn't want to deal with Jimmy's salary cap after the season, that they didn't want that distraction, and so they didn't want to deal with Jimmy being a free agent, but they didn't want to be burned by Jimmy going to the Dolphins, who were going to need a quarterback, by the Bills, who were going to need a quarterback, by the Jets. So they moved him as far away as you can move a quarterback. Because if you remember back in April during the draft, I mean, it was being rumored that, they wouldn't accept multiple firsts or a first from Cleveland, the 12th overall pick. And so to settle for, what's going to be equivalent of the 34th, 35th overall pick in next year's draft. I think a lot of teams are scratching their heads right now. So to go back to your original point, should the Cardinals have done it? Yes and no. The Cardinals right now could have made the necessary cap adjustments come 2018 to get his extension under the books. But would it have made sense based on the fact that he's going to be in his mid to late 20s? Would they have been able to surround him with the necessary pieces to be successful, like San Francisco? I don't believe so, and here's why. If you trade for him now, who's going to be his head coach in 2018? It's not going to be Bruce Arians.
Mm-hmm, right.
I don't think so. So you're going to inherit, the next head coach is going to inherit Jimmy Garoppolo. So you're going to go into head coaching interviews basically forcing Jimmy Garoppolo on your next head coach. That's not ideal. That's not a conversation I want to have. And so I was listening to Doug and Wolf with Steve Keim this week, and they asked one of the last questions they asked Steve was, what are your thoughts on the Garoppolo trade? And, you know, Steve, I thought Steve would be complimentary of the trade. I thought Steve would bring up the fact that Garoppolo came into, you know, his building and beat him on Sunday Night Football to open up the 2016 season. You know, Steve was very much, you know, I thought it was a solid move. They're trying something out, so on and so forth. Didn't praise the move. Kind of sounded a little bit, you know, disgruntled. And I'm sure because he's hearing it from the outside world that you guys are well behind everybody else when it comes to the arms race of finding your next quarterback. And I think it irritates him, and it should. And he should be hearing it because they are behind everybody else. They are behind the 8-1. And then the last thing, Blake, is Wolfley asked Steve, Keim, would you prefer to trade for somebody who's semi-established, ironically, like Garoppolo? When, you know, we've already have an answer to this because we tried this with Kevin Cobb, or would you draft somebody? And he said, obviously, I'd rather draft and develop my own guy where you could have him under the rookie wage scale and you could surround him with pieces and veterans and spend that money elsewhere. But he has shown no indication that he will do that. Where is your example that you will do that? You've had how many drafts since 2013 to show that you will do that? That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, I think it's definitely frustrating, and that's part of where the Arizona media is kind of the narrative that's been currently happening right now. We've seen at least, and this will be like kind of the last point before we'll head out for tonight. The narrative we've kind of seen has been that Bruce Arians, and he comes out on Sunday and just has this kind of very Arians-like game where you see Stanton throws 45 passes for 17 completions instead of throwing 17 passes. It's just going to be kind of more of a sign of just that there's a very big difference between the philosophy of Steve Keim and the philosophy of Bruce Arians, where Arians is the guy who's older. He's kind of maybe, you know, he understands he's near the end of his coaching career. Palmer's near the end of his playing career. Drew Stanton is even approaching perhaps the end of his playing career. And Steve seems to be looking to the future. Now, it's going to be on him. He understands that his job is going to be on the line with acquiring a quarterback. And I honestly don't blame him for not pulling the trigger on Garoppolo. You take a look at the needs that this Cardinals team has. They don't have as much cap space until they can get players off. Don't really have a quality line to be able to protect by bringing in a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo and being able to pay him that at least 16, more likely closer to $20, $22 million a year. That's going to totally break the bank. And you talk about just some of the philosophies with Garoppolo. I'm not sure exactly how well or how poor fit in Kyle Shanahan's system. I do know that just seeing with how Bill Belichick played him, they didn't have to test the deep field a lot. But that'll be something that we just end up seeing these guys create offense. I think it'll be something where we're going to take a look at this game and come back in next Monday and even the next week. And we're going to be talking about how Bruce Arians is able to adapt to the new game plan against a team that's just radically suffering so many injuries all over the point and can be run on. Or we'll be talking about how Bruce Arians and his team just continue to same stories, the same struggles. They weren't able to play mistake-free football, whether they were turnovers or just an overall lack of offense and not running the ball. We do know also that C.J. Beathard, he at least is supposed to be the starter for it now. Those players even still expecting Garoppolo to start. I don't think that'll be the case, but Beathard has had injury histories and back problems before, and Garoppolo has a package prepared. If we end up coming back and talking about how there's another backup quarterback that the Cardinals lost to Garoppolo again, how illy prepared he was when Beathard went out, that should have been the game. If it comes and we're talking about being a Cardinals team that has another loss on the record, then you're going to start looking at just a franchise that's going to start going from perhaps kind of reeling to wondering just how broken and fundamentally broken it really is with the current regime. So I think it kind of is something that's difficult and sad to hear about for Cardinals fans. And I don't think that fans should be pushing for a loss in this game or trying to say that the team should be tanking. Just by bringing up the idea of tanking, at least you just see that players, once they're accepting that, they don't play as hard. Perhaps the team has that they need to show a little bit of fight, be able to go out there, take care of business like how they're supposed to, and then if they're going to go into a Seahawks game, because at this point you're not playing as much for a record, you're not playing for the playoffs, you're playing for pride at this point. And if this team can't muster up enough pride to be able to go out and take care of business against a team that they should be able to defeat, then we're just questioning at least just about the make of this team for who's going to be here, who should go. It's going to be a lot of questions we have moving forward, and hopefully this Niners game will offer some clarity as to just what this team is. As we get out of here tonight, Johnny, you got any score predictions for the game, any ideas of how you think it'll go? What's your call for tonight?
Yeah, I think that they end up winning this game, although, I never root for losses. Sure, what a loss like this would do for this franchise moving forward, and if they were to lose out and end
just
up 3-13. And I think that, you know, there was a report out this week that, you know, Sam Darnold initially was thinking about going back to school, but now is considering still declaring, assuming that if the Browns are, you know, one of the top two teams in the draft, depending on who that other team is, he'd still consider coming out. And if Steve Keim were to be in that area where he could somehow secure one of the top two picks in the draft, and you could go 3-13, and if that would be good enough to get Sam Darnold, you know, I wonder if that's worth the sacrifice of having just a miserable year. Because honestly, I've seen 5-11, and I know you have, Blake, too many times before. I've seen 6-10. I don't need to see that again and picking 7 or 8, 9th overall. I've been there, done that. I've never seen a team bottom out to the point where I've gotten my franchise quarterback first overall. I'm still waiting for that to happen, and I know you are too. and you've got to lose these kind of games for that to happen. Or you got to have a GM with the kind of aggression that it takes to trade up to get your guy. And so when you end up in the same division as San Francisco, that's going to be kind of difficult. Or you're not going to be able to trade up with Cleveland because they're in a position where they also need a quarterback. So you're kind of up against the barrel here. So I do think they end up winning this game kind of by default. I think they win something in the neighborhood of 21-17. I think it's close. I think that Carlos Hyde has a nice game. The Cardinals' run defense hasn't been particularly strong lately. I'd like to see some of the Cardinal rookies do something. We just haven't seen anything lately from Hassan Reddick. He's got 22 tackles on the season. I don't know if it's a lack of playing time. I don't know if it's just out of position. I know that Pro Football Focus, he was one of the best linebackers in terms of not missing tackles, so maybe it's just the fact that, you know, ever since Marcus Golden went down, he's been playing more outside linebacker. I say, you know, just move him back inside and let him play next to Dale Buchanan. Carlos Dansby's been taking a lot of time off in practice, get the youth movement started. And then I need to see more Buda Baker, because you and I have talked about this before. Tyrann Mathieu does not look right. So I'm going to go 21-17 final score.
Sounds great. Yeah, I think that that's a little closer. And I think like if the Niners get 17 points on offense and there's not like a defensive player, then that'll just say so much about the Cardinals defense, which has given up just some of the most yards to wide receivers in this in the NFL season. And it's a bit shocking just considering the Niners are coming in with almost no wide receiver. But if you do see a poor performance like that, it'll just say a lot about the team and their belief. The one thing I'll at least say going into this game is I'm very curious to see what difference Robert Kelce makes, if any, because he came in with the Rams after getting past a calf strain that nagged against him since preseason and actually put up a 8.4 points Pro Football Focus rating with his run defense. He still doesn't have an NFL sack yet. But he at least has been able to show some of that progress. You're talking about a depleted Niners offensive line. If this is a game where he comes in, he's healthy, motivated, perhaps that's the one piece of a difference maker on defense to be able to add. So at this point with Kelce, you're just looking to see some of that progress. He's saying a lot of the right things, talking about how he's working on his technique. That was the biggest shock in him coming out, was the fact that he was explosive player, but also very undisciplined. I think that'll be the one thing the Cardinals fans are going to need to start watching just for the future of this team, not just looking at Stanton Gabbert, even though I do think we will be seeing Blaine Gabbert at some point. Hopefully it's not too soon, just because we do have a tough matchup against Seattle coming up just a week after this on Thursday Night Football. We'll see if we'll have time to be able to get in a quick preview of that show or not. But right now I think it's going to be the Cardinals have to really ultimately find a way to win on the road. They have to find a bit of moxie. They have to rally behind their quarterback. I have a hard time seeing it happen. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those ugly, ugly 9-6 style games. I feel like you're going to have offensive struggles. I'm not completely sold that Bruce Arians isn't going to start throwing the ball, just because we saw against the Rams, once they put 9 people in the box, Cardinals ran right into that. They just weren't able to convert on the passer versus the run. And I just have a feeling that with the bye week, it's going to be a tough one. So I'll say 9-6, and I'll pick the Cardinals at least to win this game. But it would not surprise me if the San Francisco 49ers were the ones to come out and actually win. This is a team that's 0-8 right now. They're desperate for a win. They didn't get one last week. And even though they were blown out last week and just seem to be taking all these hits, the fact that they're on their home turf and they're facing a reeling Arizona team that doesn't have their quarterback, I think they got a little bit of fight in them. And I think it's going to really come down to the final wire at the final field goal, just like they did the last time. So I'll get the Cardinals just with a field goal at the end of the game after maybe 2 or 3 missed ones. I'll pick them to be able to take home the win, go up to 4-4. And after that, it's going to be really tough sledding for the team just to be able to see where it'll go. But they can find some sort of defensive identity if some of the young players can get more playing time and step up. If maybe they try to find a running identity behind Adrian Peterson and some play action to Larry Fitzgerald, you might end up seeing this being a Cardinals team that'll give fans at least a bit of hope, or at least a bit of optimism going into the rest of the season. All right, we'll be heading out at least for today. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure that you do like and subscribe. We are on iTunes, as well as you can always check us out on the Revenge of Birds. We post our weekly podcast there as well for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good week. John, where can they find you on Twitter?
Johnny's Football at Twitter. Yeah, and check us out on iTunes now.
Absolutely. And you can find me at BlakeMurphy7. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night. Next time after the Niners game. All right. And let me guess, we are ending that episode. All right. I'll give you a call here in just a minute or two, actually. I just got one more thing in here, so I'm going to pass.